Live from the Bill's famous cheese spread studios in the downstairs pub, the Blockout Sports Pod is back on the air. From behind the master control desk in the aforementioned downstairs pub, I am your host and moderator for this evening. My name is Travis Carter. Going a little old school tonight with the original three, kind of like, you know, Tuna's a big into hockey, kind of like the original eight.
The original six,
whatever it was. we are going with the original three. So over my right shoulder at the high top table is the big fella, the Tuna Country Matt Kempf. And bellied up to the bar is a man who dresses so flashy, he makes Kim Mulkey look like an Amish. The fabulous one, Freddie Bender.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of Amish, we got no electricity tonight.
That's right.
That's a way to tie that in, Tuna. That's very good.
Mulkey reminds me of Phyllis Diller at times. And other times, she's kind of like Barbie.
Phyllis Diller had a personality and seemed likable.
She did like dill pickles.
Yeah, well, I don't know what Kim Mulkey likes, and I don't want to know.
She likes winning.
Yeah.
She likes winning, by God, and she likes.
She is the Bobby Knight of women's basketball.
Your boy apologized to her. So
who?
The writer.
What did he apologize to her for?
Not the one from the Washington Post.
Oh, a different guy.
That was a guy from the L.A. Times who wrote a completely different and, in my opinion, wildly inappropriate article.
Oh,
that was
okay.
Two totally separate things.
Okay.
Yeah, the one in the Washington Post, I think it just said she was mean. I mean, that's basically all it was.
And it really didn't even say that. It was like she's a driven, crazy coach who only cares about winning. Well, guess what? You just described like
99% of coaches.
Of the top coaches in any sport.
Right.
As a matter of fact, not to get off on a tangent, but I actually thought that article in the Washington Post made her almost a more sympathetic figure because it went back into her childhood and her father and the way that she
dill
was
pickles.
Raised and like it made you kind of understand why she is the way she is.
Right.
And it wasn't a hit piece at all.
Mm-mm.
And quite frankly, had she just said, I'm not going to comment on that article. People can write what they want to about me. We're focused on the tournament. No, it wouldn't. But guess what? When I saw that article came out, I was like, I'm reading that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because I thought, oh, man, they're going to get some dirt on him. It wasn't like that at all. What it reminded me of is like one of the one of those long form articles that in the glory days of Sports Illustrated, like Frank DeFord would have written, like he did write about Bob Knight.
Like Rick Riley. Yeah.
But anyway, we'll talk a little bit more about the women's NCAA tournament
for Mulkey
here in a little bit.
She was dressed like you on St. Patrick's Day.
That's what somebody said. They said she may have lost the game, but it looks like she won the Masters.
Yeah, she had a little Gumby look to
her.
Where was Pokey?
I want to remind everybody that we are on social media on Twitter at Blockout Pod. On Facebook, just type in Blockout Sports Pod. Quick update on the Blockout Bracket Challenge. There are only two people that have an opportunity to win. And when I checked it today, it appeared that if UConn wins, someone who I'm not sure who it is wins.
Yeah.
And if UConn doesn't win, Mr. Electricity wins.
No.
So
I can't pull for UConn. I guess I'll pull for Mr. Electricity.
So we'll have to see. I'll have to see who that is. If it is you, that you can look on
Hold
there.
On. Let's just take a minute and watch this dance performance going on in this Wizards game.
That's the most synchronicity has been seen on that court all year.
I don't know what's even happening. Is this what they're doing now at Wizards games? Because they just can't play basketball anymore?
Well, I think they've only won, what, 14 games this year?
Dude, so. You abandoned them.
Well, they're not my team, buddy.
No, I know.
We're grasping at straws here, Tuna.
I'm with the Grizz.
Hey, can I say one thing so y'all...
No.
Roll damn Tide. Can y'all drink? Give me a drink! It's basketball season. We're talking about the Tide.
No. When this can't happen.
Sure, well, it's happening.
So,
how did it
you're
happen?
You're tied during football season.
I know. We how did this happen?
I
how
don't know.
How did the Tide come?
You know
how
why
did
it happened?
They get here?
This is exactly why it happened. I'm going to say this right now. I made two declarations before this tournament started. One, that Alabama could never win a national championship with the coaching style that Nate Oates does.
Right.
Threes and layups, no mid-range jumpers. I said that's fun and it works a lot, but and it's trendy.
Run it and gut it.
But a team like that will never win a national championship. So they're set up to win a national championship. Second declaration, I said Purdue has no chance at winning a national championship.
Right.
And here are both of these teams sitting. So just know that anytime I rule your team out completely,
well, Tuna,
they got a shot.
It was the reverse black cat. Yeah.
Tuna, we figured all this out during fantasy season that you were going to be off.
It is the reverse black cat. And speaking of the way that the tournament has turned out, unfortunately, in the official blockout bracket that we did collectively, we now have one team left in the Final Four. We have UConn. Mm. We had UConn, Arizona, Houston, and Creighton.
My 8-year-old son has two.
Maybe we should bring him on the. We should bring him on
the
pod
next
year.
I'm not getting the Alabama and UConn, and he had Creighton.
Can we
in the
replace
final,
Freddie with his son?
He had Creighton in the final game against UConn. I'm gonna tell you, if Creighton would have made it, and they could have,
absolutely, they
that
would have
been one hell of a bracket right there.
But
that overtime game took everything out of him.
UConn appears to be another juggernaut, as we've said, and I predicted them to win it at the beginning of the tournament. Purdue has, I mean, that was a really hard-fought, tough game against Tennessee.
Yeah, it was.
And I thought of Tuna going into that matchup because the two guys you said couldn't win, one of them was going to Final Four.
I know it.
One of them was going to the Final Four.
It was like a win or you have to retire game.
Yeah,
That's what happened.
Yep, yep.
And sure, Rick took it the hard way, and he had to retire.
And Bama, as Freddie said, and obviously the funnest story in this tournament has been North Carolina State and DJ Burns.
DJ and DJ.
He has really kind of caught the imagination of the sports world just with the way he plays. I mean,
and I think his
smiles,
personality is more
smiles.
Intriguing
right.
than his play.
But
yeah.
He's also a
throwback.
Let's say a husky.
That's what my mama used to call me.
275-pound guy who passes like...
He is way more than 275.
Well, he's right listed now. At 275.
Yeah, right. You know what I love about him when they interviewed him and he go after the game and he goes, you know, everybody in the locker room started getting to meetings and everything on time. Don't make miss no meetings or nothing. He's like brutally honest. And that's another thing I love about him.
But
know?
Isn't he fun to watch? I mean, he has those like Kevin McHale type moves under the basket with the drop steps and the up and unders. But he, the way he
yeah,
passes,
the pass, the way
he
passes
the like Bill Walton.
Yeah.
He's
like light on his feet. He pushes the ball right where it needs to. It's he's pretty intriguing to watch. And like I said before, I was like, he's been frustrating me for quite some time because I always thought he was this crazy talented kid, but he could never stay on the court long enough. And I find what to be most impressive is the minutes that he's been able to play.
That was my, the next
tournament.
Thing I was just about to say.
Because he hasn't been able to do that this season.
I keep waiting for him to like hit the wall. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was going to happen in the Elite Eight game the other day. I noticed him at one point, like doing the classic grabbing his shorts and kneeling down. And I swear the very next play, they pass it to him under the bucket. He did like a triple fake up and under spin off the backboard. It went in and he was dancing back down the other end. I said, this guy's a total freak.
He's playing on pure adrenaline, I think.
Yeah.
Like I don't know. It's just different with him right now.
And, man, it is hard when a team gets on a roll like that and becomes kind of like the darling. You think that they're going to, you know, finally meet their match in the Sweet 16 or the Elite Eight or whatever. Man, now they're in. I still think UConn is the prohibitive favorite. I think Purdue is secondarily the only team that I think on paper can give them a game.
I do think Bama is a tough matchup for UConn.
Am I going to sit here and say that North Carolina State can't beat Purdue? Absolutely not.
Oh, no, I've seen Purdue lose to worse teams.
Yeah, absolutely not.
Let's not forget about Middlebrooks, the little guard, mm-hmm. DJ Horde, who's playing exceptionally well.
That's the thing, is they're only going like seven deep. And that seventh is a stretch.
And
yeah, so
it is.
Tuna, you were talking about
get in foul trouble against Edie, it could be an issue.
Right. You were talking about the mid-range game. That Casey Marcel.
Oh yeah.
He has he is a throwback. Like he may be the best mid-range player I've seen in the tournament in 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, he's the new wave coach's nightmare. They do not want those shots being taken at all. And it's like, he's like, hey, this is my shot. I'm taking it. And
I don't think coaches coach to guard that anymore.
No, because you don't see it a lot anymore.
But he's great at it, and they are kind of a throwback team.
Well, when you are the
women's game more than anything.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, oh, yeah. When you are the darlings, you're going to get some calls go your way, and it's going to be interesting to see Purdue with Edie. I mean, dude, let's be real. That dude's in the paint the whole time. They're not counting no seconds on him. It takes him, I'm just saying, he gets a lot of calls. Let's be real. Has he earned it? Yes. But I think NC State, now that they're here, they're going to get some calls, and I think Purdue's going to get frustrated a little bit every once in a while. Now, we'll see what happens.
Well, I keep waiting for, and traditionally this has been the gripe of the Big Ten, is that when the Big Ten teams get into the tournament, games are not officiated the way they are in the Big Ten. The physical play that you can get away with in the Big Ten is not necessarily gotten away with in the NCAA tournament. But
this year's been physical as hell, man.
Well, and I think Bruce Pearl made a great great comment on Dan Patrick yesterday. He said the further the tournament goes, the more physical they allow the games to be. And he was like, in our game when they lost to Yale, he was like, they called 25 fouls on us or whatever. And he was like, the Purdue game the other day, he was like, you could have called 70 fouls and they didn't call 25 combined. That favors Purdue. I mean, it does. But like you said, and here's the thing about Purdue, and I've said it on this podcast and I've said it off the podcast, the key to their whole game, Edie can be not stopped, but he can be slowed down to an extent. But they have all these shooters on the perimeter. Their Achilles heel and how they're going to get beat, if they get beat, is they're going to have an off night shooting the basketball from outside. Because teams will just collapse on Edie and go, you're not going to beat us with him. He can score his 25 or whatever, but you're not going to beat us from outside. And you pick your poison, and if they're hitting from outside, like you saw in spurts against Tennessee the other night, those runs they made, I mean, the guys were wide open. They were wide open in the first half, couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. But in the second half, those shots started falling. And But I'm really fascinated, if it happens, to see Edie and Klingon, they call
Klingon. Hey,
Klingon.
Hey,
Donovan Klingon.
For what it's worth, I never thought that I would say this, but the next game is the most intriguing game. I know that everyone's in love with NC State, but how could you all watch Alabama in the last game and not say they have 7 freaking weapons? UConn has 10. This could come down to let me tell you something, Estrada, Sears, Griffith, I mean, these guys for Bama are some freaking athletes,
now,
dude.
And let's keep in mind that
you think UConn's just going to, in the second half, right, Tuna? They're going to go up. They're going to get hot with the at the 12-minute mark, and here they come. It's happened to everybody. But this Bama team, the way they play, where they're running and gunning and shooting and da-da-da, and Sears is a matchup nightmare. I want to see that little white point guard for UConn stay with him.
This is my biggest concern with Bama in this game, and I'd love nothing more than to see Bama smack UConn around. If Bama goes on a cold streak that just lasts, like,
well, yeah,
you know,
done.
5, 6, 7 minutes, that's what UConn's been doing in this tournament. They've been playing battle ball, and then they go on for this one big run that just takes the soul out of their opponent.
And normally it's early second half.
And I feel like Bama's the perfect team that opens it up for their soul to get ripped out. Because I've seen them give it up several times in a game. They've just been lucky enough to battle back.
True.
They're not going to be able to battle back against UConn like
that.
Right,
and,
exactly.
Alex Caravan still hasn't played well for Connecticut. Mm. But Bama gets probably, I'm having a stutter issue here, Latrell Wrightsell back after his, and he's the best three-point shooter, ostensibly, on Alabama's
him
team.
Him and Griffith. Griffith shoots them crazy ones. He reminds me of Todd Day.
One boy was money from the corner. What was his name? The two names combined.
Yeah.
The hyphenated.
Right.
Anyway. He was great from the corner the other day. He couldn't hit from anywhere else but the corner. But anyway.
Was
Estrada. That's what I'm
talking about. Estrada is all over the place. He is a matchup nightmare
He had
dude, he can
19 against Carolina and had several huge shots.
He's a stat stuffer. He's going to have rebounds, assists, everything.
But Sears being able to penetrate the way he does, because he can get to the rim whenever he wants. He almost reminds me a little bit of a Peyton Sifa, kind of the way he gets to the rim.
And he's averaging 24 points in this tournament.
Yeah.
I mean, he's putting the ball in the bucket at a very high clip. I still think Connecticut is too deep.
Yeah.
And they've got dogs at every position.
I'm sorry. I meant to say Pringle.
Pringle.
Buddy, talk about another matchup that's going to be tough for somebody. Pringle with that guy, the ball, wherever he's at, the ball falls into his hands. I mean, Griffith is a Todd Day. He's a 6'4 shooting guard. Sears is in very hard to handle with the ball. I do believe that. Sorry, I'm a little under the weather, folks.
I think everybody's a little under the weather tonight, except for Travis. He's holding well.
Yeah, but I'm going to tell you, this is UConn's heart. Well, and as it should be, let's be real. But this is their hardest matchup so far. Maybe even more so than Purdue, in my opinion.
I tell you, that 11.5 looks pretty intriguing.
And when Saban's sitting over there on the sidelines, buddy, you know you're trembling.
Oh, yeah.
You're trembling in your boots.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, they ought to just bring Saban, put Oates up in the press box and let Saban sit on the bench.
Yeah, sorry, little Danny. Someone else has won 2 in a row, too, pal. He's sitting right there across from you. Hey, but UConn has been just fantastic. I mean, it's ridiculous.
What is it, 23.5-point average margin of victory?
Yep.
But I'm telling you right now, I'm taking Bama the points. I'm all over it.
The 11.5 is intriguing. I almost feel like it's a trap to where I want UConn. I don't know. I'm going to this is what I've discovered is that I need to not ever bet college basketball ever again. So that's kind of what
I
figured out.
You bet UConn every game?
Have
you would have won money.
Yeah, I would have, but I didn't.
Like the guy in Vegas that won $26,000.
Yeah, well, good for him.
On the bet Sunday to cover by 12, and they covered by 14.
Yeah, he was probably cheating.
And let's talk a little bit about the NC State Purdue matchup. You have one team that hasn't been to the Final Four since 1980. In Purdue, and I've, truth be told, and this is going to really irritate a lot of my Indiana friends.
Is that Rick Mount?
No.
Okay, he's older.
Yeah. it's going to make a lot of my Indiana friends upset, but I've said it on this podcast before. I love Matt Painter. I love the program and the culture that he's developed at Purdue.
Sell out.
I like their players. I like their team. But their fans are going to be insufferable if they win a national championship.
Oh, for
so
sure.
So I'm in favor.
Boilermakers at the bar. Let's have one.
I'm in favor of their coach, of their players. But, God, it's going to be very difficult for me to root for them, especially against NC State.
Are their fans that bad?
To Indiana people, yeah.
I mean, what do they have to like talk trash about?
They have a great bar called Pete.
Like, I don't even know if I could take it seriously if a Purdue fan was talking trash.
Well, I mean,
like, who are you? What are you doing here?
They've won more Big Ten championships than any other team.
Do something in March, buddy.
I mean, they have been very, very much more consistent than Indiana in the last 20 years.
Yeah, the last 20 years. But
who's
like
the best Purdue player?
If you
player,
just compare the two programs.
Who's the best few Purdue players besides Edie? Obviously, he's up there at the top. Glenn Robinson, obviously, at the up
the
there
big
in the
dog.
Top five. The big dog. Rick Mount.
Robbie Hummel.
Who I mentioned.
Yeah, Robbie Hummel's legit.
How about Troy Lewis?
Troy Lewis. Jaden Ivey.
Melvin McCants.
Yeah, he was very good.
McCants was like the scrappy dude.
Way back
he?
In the day, yeah. Oh.
He would have been 1990-ish.
They've had some good good players.
Oh, they've been very – and I love Gene Cady.
Right.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I love Gene Cady.
Who don't love Gene?
And I don't know.
Tuna loves his hair.
Well, there for a while, him and Denny would have the – because Louisville and Purdue would play every year, and those two would shake hands. And they had that both, like, we're hanging on to our comb-overs.
Right. Travis and I have the story. Yeah. We've met him. We've already talked about that, which is he's a – knowing that he had that scowl and that hair, and he's still a great guy to run into and meet.
But in real life, off of the basketball court, he is funny and as self-deprecating and as cool as you can be. On the court, he was a complete psycho, which is understandable. That's why he was
why
so successful.
Not? Hell, he had to go against Knight all the time, too. You got to be a big personality to do that.
I don't know. I just find it, just to circle back, though, I would just find it hilarious that for Purdue fans to trash talk anybody. So, I don't know, but I guess in a rivalry, that's what happens.
Well, yeah, of course. And, you know, they've...
It'd be like, I mean, like, I'm a Louisville fan. I couldn't imagine talking trash to Kentucky about anything about, because Louisville's been so bad in everything the last few years. Like, I mean, what Kentucky?
Oh, give me a break, Tuna.
No, I mean, like, what can I say?
You can rag on UK.
What can
on.
I say, though?
Just
like,
go, you all got Cal.
Yeah, we had Kenny. That's like, I mean, it was terrible.
Yeah, timing's never been great. We won a championship, you won a championship. Yeah,
exactly, that's what I'm saying.
And we had to beat you to get ours. No, but no, dude. I don't know. It is. Purdue IU is like Kentucky and Louisville, the rivalry. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It kind of is.
But even their city's horrible. Like East or West Lafayette, East Lafayette. I don't even know what it is.
It's West Lafayette, and that it's not a great place.
It's dreary.
But you know, it's a rivalry. Yeah. That's what.
And what's UConn trying to do? They're trying to win their sixth.
They've already got five sixth. Now,
buddy. That's got blue blood written all over.
I think they've already established.
Already established it.
I mean, with three different coaches too. That's the most impressive thing to me.
And all in the last 25 years?
Oh yeah. Yeah. What was Calhoun's first one? 90.
It would have been in the
five.
That was Okafor. 2019.
It was the late 90s, I think.
Well, Duke won in 1999. Michigan State won in 2000, so they were 2001, I think, with Okafor or right there. They were almost by that 2000.
But, yeah, it's all been in the last 25 years-ish, and they seem to show no signs of slowing down. Hurley seems to have built. He's built the program back up to a level where they're going to compete every
year.
It's
so weird to me because it's not like he was a great coach at Rhode Island, right? That's where he came from, right? Rhode Island?
No.
He was in high school, but then he was at Rhode Island, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
But where'd he play?
I don't know where
Providence,
the hell he played.
Right?
Okay. No, he played at Seton Hall.
Seton Hall.
Yeah.
Seton Hall. That's
okay.
Right.
Okay. But still, like, what I'm saying is he wasn't exactly crushing it at Rhode Island. And then for UConn to be like, we're going to hire this guy to be our guy, and he just comes in and just dominates right away. Who's seen that coming?
Well, he's got ties with his dad, who's legendary.
And in the high school world, he's done nothing in college.
And I also think there are at a place like a Rhode Island or something like that, there's something to be said for more than gross wins and losses. Like, just looking at your win totals and that. People in basketball, and Bobby to a certain extent too, although he hasn't done great things. He's had a couple good years at Arizona State. But I think people in basketball saw Danny as the ultra-focused psycho that he is and thought, if he gets the platform where he can draw the top players like he can at a place like UConn. And credit to the administration at UConn for seeing that.
Hey,
I'm just saying, Jim Herrick could win at Rhode Island. How come he couldn't?
Hey, Jim Herrick won at Rhode Island with McDonald's All-Americans.
Yeah, and also
picks.
Got them put on probation. Almost got him the death penalty.
Right.
Give and you take.
But he did have a couple great NBA players. But here's the thing. I'm watching the McDonald's All-American game last night. Not one player going to UConn. Not one.
They're transfer.
Now, I'm sure they got good recruits. And I'm not saying that they're all McDonald's All-Americans. You know, they can do the Jordan Classic and all these other things now. But I'm just saying, you would think if you are almost two-time national champion, that you're going to have someone that's a top 20 McDonald's All-Americans go, I'm going to UConn. Well, guess what? He doesn't. And that says something right there, too.
Building. Because
I don't think he recruits them anymore.
Because
he may not.
You're building your program not based on some Yahoo's opinion of a high school kid.
Let me explain this one to you. So
some guy like.
This is the way I look at it. If you're a McDonald's All-American, you got all this hype coming in. The coach has to go out of the way to recruit you. And you're going to get NIL money directly just for coming in. Let's say that you're not going to go pro right away, okay? You kind of in between there. You have to get re-recruited again. You have to, as the coach, you have to re-recruit this guy and pay more NIL money to keep him on your roster.
That's right.
Because if not, he's going to transfer to a Kentucky Kansas.
He's turning good players into national All-Americans.
What you're recruiting now is these like 3-star and low 4-star guys that are coming in and they're battling through as freshmen and sophomore, And they're playing with these upperclassmen transfer portal guys.
And everything's taking care of itself.
Yes.
And
which is an understated thing, but it with him, everything will take care of itself is showing.
And it's so cyclical because this tournament in particular is dominated by the juniors, seniors, and grad, whatever they call those guys that have already graduated. It's dominated by those guys.
Well, last year's Final Four was also.
Yep.
Right.
I can remember, I think it was Jim Boeheim after the tournament last year. They said, what's the strategy of a coach going forward? He said, get old and stay old. And it's such a 180 degree turn from what it was 10 years ago when it was get the 6 best freshmen in the country and let them just go out there and ball.
Well, I thought it was funny because Cal was doing that when he first got to Kentucky, and he was the first one to really do it. And then Coach K out of nowhere is like, I'm getting in on this.
Well, the Fab Five did it.
Well, but that was an anomaly, and that didn't happen again for another 20 years.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So.
And they never won anything anyway.
I think this Tristan Newton story is what's really got me. I mean, this kid transferred from East Carolina. He comes to UConn, and he turns into a first-team All-American. And he is a stat stuffer. And half of the country don't even know this kid yet.
I mean, there's cases like that all across. What about the kid from Tennessee? Dalton Connect. He transferred in from Division II.
True,
know what I mean? Like, there's all these guys that excel at that level. They grow up a little bit, and then they get a chance once they've gotten older on the big stage.
They just weren't highly recruited as young kids. They didn't have a piece of the pie like some of these kids that are
less risky. Like, when you get a freshman who's a high-level freshman, you're still rolling the dice on that kid. You get a guy that's like a high-level MAC player, you know. Yeah.
Cal, are you listed?
You're like, hey, that's less of a gamble that whether or not he's going to work out or not. He's proven to be successful at the Division I college level.
Right.
I mean, some of these younger guys, like, they freak out just being far from home their first year.
Right.
With the college guys, you don't have to worry about that shit. Like, they've already been in college for 3 years.
Good point, Tuna.
I don't know, man. It's
Well, should we slide right into the... Speaking of great ball players, should we slide into the women
players? Yeah, sure.
That's creepy the way you said it.
Well, yeah. Maybe maybe we shouldn't do that. Maybe we should just
Let's jump in.
Let's discuss the NCAA women's basketball tournament, which saw the marquee game, and I'm in agreement with the Iowa coach who said the real shame of this game is that it was played when it was and not in the Final Four in the national championship. But it was, I think, again, the most watched.
Oh, had to have been.
12.4 million. It is the most watched women's sporting event in United States history.
Is that right?
Wow. Yep.
Even more than, like, the Women's World Cup and
than
all that
any
stuff. Wow.
Women's sporting event in U.S. history.
And
12.4 million.
And it certainly lived up to the hype, as we talked about before we came on the air, especially in the first half. That first half was as good a basketball game. I don't care, men, women, children, aliens, whatever. It was as good a basketball game as you would ever want to see. And Caitlin Clark was, as advertised, coming down, just stopping at the logo, chucking up three-pointers.
How about those mid-range half-court passes?
Yeah, she's a great passer, too.
Hey, you're going to run the court when she's on your team because you're going to get rewarded. And I'm talking beautiful. She may be the best half-court passer that I've seen in the last 10 years, men or women. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, dude, some of the assists, she plays the game the way it's supposed to be played. And I'm talking, she makes the pass when it's supposed to be made at the right time. If you need a block or a steal or whatever, or she goes over there and gives the player that may think that they're getting hot for a minute a little shove in the kidney. You know what I'm saying? Like, she's the whole package. And Tuna thinks she's, you know, she's light. She's good looking little chicky.
Don't put me in that position.
Attractive woman.
Dig yourself out of that hole, Fred.
Oh, come on. No, but I do love these players.
Don't drag me in there.
But you know what?
That's called projection, yes. Tuna. Yeah. That's projection.
Yeah. But, you know, there's, you know. She's
awesome. And, I mean, anybody that watches sports would have to agree that it's must-see television. And and I'm so excited. I mean, I was talking to my wife after that game, and I said, the great thing is, hopefully, the Indiana Fever have the number one pick, as we talked about a few weeks ago. And hopefully nothing like, I heard Ice Cube is offering her like $5 million or something crazy to play in his league.
Mm-hmm.
But I hope that she plays in Indianapolis for the next 12 years and I can take my daughter to go watch her play. And I think that'll be something where I can, where we can say, man, you got to see maybe the most dynamic female basketball player. And I hate to qualify it as female, but it is. I mean, I got to see Jordan and Bird and Magic and all those guys play live. But this would be, to me, as exciting and as transcendent somebody as seeing one of those guys. Like, well, you just don't see
when
this.
When you're that dominant against your peers, whether it be men or women, it's intriguing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Whether you have, like, the best female boxer or the best, but, like, how dominant she is against her peers is what I find so fascinating.
Especially a bunch of bullies that were coming for her,
mm-hmm.
which was the big, that was what was on the menu.
The other crazy thing is every team that she plays against knows how she plays and what, and she still goes out and scores 40.
Oh yeah. And how about the assist? I mean,
like,
you know,
you can't hardly
eight rebounds. What?
Is she 100% said she's not coming back to college next year?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. She has already said that.
Get rid of your Iowa gear, Tuna.
I was just saying, like, I feel like there's a lot of money to be made in the college game right now.
She has already said that.
I feel like women's college basketball is as big now as it's ever been. And a lot of it's because of her, but I think women's college basketball has been growing a lot.
There's no doubt about that, but
move on.
Why? You don't believe that?
Yeah, I want her to move on.
Oh, I don't know. I kind of like her in college basketball.
Well, I'm.
We don't need 8-year tight ends.
As an Indiana fan, I'm glad they don't have. I'm glad I can start rooting for her in every game, and I think I'm not the only person that's. I'm going to tune in to the Indiana Fever to watch her play. I mean, I'm going to.
Dude, I'm getting a hat.
I mean, I'm going to watch their games. I'm going to go to their games.
But, Tuna, we don't want to see her beat up on the same little kids that she's going to keep beating up on. Move on. If you're that good, move on up to the next level
and
see what you're made of.
She has an opportunity.
That's where Saban's
become
cutting that NIL
the
crap.
Face of that league, which has been looking for.
I think she'll be the face as soon as she gets in there.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
for sure.
And they've been looking for, because, look, the quality of that basketball is and has always been, since that league started, very good. But they need a superstar at the top.
Taurasi, Sue Bird, they've all moved on.
And
it's
they need somebody that everybody can hang their hat on and go, every night when she plays, you got to watch because you never know what's going to happen.
Right.
And I'm really looking forward to that, quite frankly. So.
Good. Yeah, I am too. I mean, I'll probably watch her too. I'm not like, I definitely probably will. Because you're intrigued by how she's going to do against top level competition. So she's kind of must watch
TV.
And
she's going to bring a little tude, little attitude with it too. That's what I like about her. She brings a little attitude as well.
The WNBA, it's played in the summer, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So
they'd have great attendance at their games.
So, like, their only competition is baseball.
They're not as good as the St. Louis Battlehawks, but they do have good attendance.
Well, there was, like, four people at the Battlehawks game.
For the longest field goal and tied the longest field goal in history.
Are we going to go into the UFL?
We do have breaking news.
Uh-oh. Oh, shit.
The
Rick Pitino's in trouble.
The airplane that UConn was supposed to get on to go to Arizona has been, quote, delayed due to multiple mechanical issues with the airplane, and they have not left Connecticut as of right now.
Oh, so they weren't in the air.
No, okay. They were on the plane, I think, and told, get off the plane. This one's not taking you there.
They got the plane for Major League?
That's what I was just about to say. It's the Indian Express.
They got no way pulled a Ronnie Van Zant and said, the hell with this. We're going on.
It's like when Ed Harris looked over to Pedro Serrano when he's doing the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. He's like, oh, now you're coming around.
Yeah, Ronnie says, we're going. Through great, we're going right now. Those who, everybody, you only live once, now. Boys.
So anyway, I thought that was interesting.
That is.
That just broke.
Bama's well.
Bet
rested.
That Bama 11.5.
They're
right
well
now.
No, for real, that's true. Probably true.
I'm serious.
That will have something to do with it.
I bet that spread jumps by about a point by tomorrow.
I'm just not betting any parlays. I'm done with
them.
No,
parlays
are over,
under.
Oh, my God. So frustrating. I had 3 out of 4 on 4 of them and still couldn't win.
Well, that's how they get you.
It's baseball betting season. That's where you get to winning. So,
okay. Where are we at, Travis? What should we jump into? We were jumping into the
UFL.
Oh, I was getting ready to caw-caw.
Yeah, absolutely. The UFL season got underway this last week. Unfortunately, my DC Defenders did not play a particularly good.
Buddy, this is what I've gathered from the first weekend. The USFL teams are way better than the XFL teams.
Now, what happened?
I would agree.
It was
with
a completely different level of football.
How did that happen?
I don't even know. I thought the XFL would have the premier guys.
I did too.
They got punked which way around.
They
did. I don't.
We
get
got
it.
Beat by a 64-yard field goal. You all got punked.
Well, we were winning by 10 in the first half. We got punked in the second half.
Right.
But yeah.
And I have to be honest, I was not able to watch that game. Did A.J. McCarron, did he start for us?
Yeah, he started. He looked terrible.
I'm sure he would.
I mean, everything looked terrible. Bob Stoops didn't even know where he was. Michigan Panthers, who came into the game as a, 9-point underdog?
I think that's right.
Yeah, just smacked St. Louis around. And then, I don't know. I don't even know what the Brahmas are doing. They're still a team.
The DC loss was big to me.
I think Colin has moved. Is that who beat DC?
Is that Birmingham?
Hold on here. Let me pull it up.
Who the Showboats play?
The Brahmas beat the Defenders. The Showboats beat the Roughnecks.
Okay, so the Brahmas, I believe, is Colin's team now because they have two IU guys, and his team didn't make the cut.
Wait a minute, that's right.
The Sea Dragons didn't make it, and the
Sea Dragons were good.
Yeah, but I think they got rid of everybody on the West Coast because they're trying to keep travel cheap. So,
I was going to get a Sea Dragons hat. I like their logo and everything.
You could probably get one
vintage now
on the clearance rack.
So,
you go to Streaker Sports.
So, Memphis who?
Showboats.
Well, is Marcus Dupree playing for them?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, he's driving their driving their equipment around. But no, so what we got here? The Stallions, the Panthers, and the Showboats were all USFL holdovers.
Right.
And they all three just won.
How'd Birmingham do?
No, well, that's what I'm saying. The Stallions beat the Renegades, defending XFL champions, 27-14, which was actually a good matchup. You had the USFL champion versus the XFL champion right out of the gate. And the Stallions basically just demolished
them. I might have to get me a Birmingham hat.
This week, Saturday night at 8 p.m., a lot of people are going to be watching the Final Four. But Fred and I are going to be watching the Arlington Renegades versus the St. Louis Battlehawks.
Hey, I can wear my Bama caca with my hat and still get away with it during a NCAA tournament game, see? My A.J. McCarron, see?
Okay.
I can get away
and
with
WrestleMania
that.
Is going on Saturday night. So what a packed night.
Yeah, I was going to talk about that at the
end
of the
course,
show.
And, of course, we're going to have some good baseball. Go. Baseball on.
There's always good baseball.
Starting to pick
on.
Up some steam here out of the gate.
Has the Reds game even started tonight, or did that thing get?
Well, it may have got canceled. I don't know.
It was on rain delay. I know that. This is a huge game for the Pacers that's on down here in the pub, by the way. Very important for them to win this game.
Are they playing the Looney Tunes?
Yes.
Yeah. What are they wearing?
Space Jam.
Okay. The Nets are wearing Space Jam
jerseys.
That's another thing. I put on the NBA games, and I don't even know what uniforms the guys are, or what teams are what, because they're all wearing these special uniforms every night.
Well, some of the play-in games, they do that. Hey, let me ask you a question. I watched with Clayton, my little boy. Now, I've seen Space Jam, and I watched the LeBron one. What's that? Is that Space Jam? Did he steal
it's
the
Space
same
Jam
title?
Remake? Just yeah, like they did.
Let me tell you something. That movie is absolutely horrible.
Yes.
Yeah, I think everybody knew that.
Horrible. Sorry, LeBron. One thing you can't catch up to MJ on, well, there's a couple, but is that longevity? I'll give you. Other than that, no.
Remakes never work out, man. Red Dawn.
I mean, it was
the new
horrible.
Roadhouse. Have you watched the new Roadhouse yet?
No.
Absolutely awful.
Is it really?
It's absolutely terrible.
Oh man, I was hoping.
I was so
happen.
Excited for that, and it just.
I just always say
Point Break was awful.
Yeah.
Remake.
I the Red Dawn was like, terrible. Like,
yeah.
Why wouldn't you just watch the real one?
But
like, why wouldn't you just watch the real
well,
one?
Well, hell, I do.
Like, yeah, I know. But what I'm saying is, when they make these new ones, like the Roadhouse or whatever, I go, okay, there's a new Roadhouse out. Why wouldn't you just watch the real one? I don't understand why
they could have named this movie anything but, and I would have been like, nah, it was just a normal movie. But the fact that it carried the title Roadhouse,
yeah, now it's competing.
That made me hate it.
Yeah, now it's competing with
the real
one. Let me
tell you something. If they ever remake Urban Cowboy, send me out to pasture. I'm out. I'm done.
Oh, it wouldn't surprise me.
I'd say the new Top Gun was excellent, but that was more of a sequel than a remake.
Right.
Yeah, so
that
doesn't.
Now
that was a sequel.
Yeah,
that was a sequel.
So I don't know. Yeah, quit doing remakes. I forgot about Point Break. I tried to put that one completely out of my mind.
Right. Yeah, can't remake that one.
But yeah, the Reds and Phillies are in the top of the third, and it is scoreless right now.
Okay.
And the Royals giving the Orioles everything they want. I think the biggest surprise of this Major League Baseball season is the Pittsburgh Pirates. But is it really because they do this every year? And let's keep in mind they started off against the Marlins and the Nationals. And as of right now, it is the seventh inning and they're down by two. So their winning streak's about to be over. So if you bet the New York Yankees as the last team to lose, then chances are you're in a good spot.
Let me guess, McCutcheon's lead the league in batting.
No, they got some young guys on that team. They're pretty fun. They're a lot like, Cincy maybe was last year. And
I think McCutchen may be leading the league and watching his kids play baseball because I don't think he's in the league anymore.
I know. That was a little pirate jab.
The biggest news around here locally, which I can't believe we've waited this long to talk about.
Well, that's how little brother is.
What are you talking about?
I mean, that was uncalled for.
That was uncalled for. What? I'm sorry. But it is time to talk.
Are you taking a shot at Louisville for something?
No. Hell no. Hey, I'm excited. Let me put my
You run DMC glasses on?
Yeah, baby. Now Tuna, let's get some energy going here.
And I will be the guy to verify this. From the time that it became apparent that Scott Drew, and I believe you said it on these airwaves, from the time it became apparent that Scott Drew was not getting the job, you had one guy in mind for the Louisville basketball head coaching job.
Four of them, yeah.
But he didn't care about any of them other guys.
I didn't. I wanted this guy.
He wanted one guy.
Take the mic over, Tuna.
And you got him. How do you feel about that, Tuna?
When we announced him as our head coach, which the timing may have been the worst thing possible, because the night, like previously that night on a Twitter space, the Richard Pitino rumor mill got cooking. And then the next morning was like all these people being like, Richard Pitino's going to get the job. We're even on a text thread, Freddie, where it came in and what was it? Our buddy Martin said, we got these insiders and that they've already offered Richard Pitino the job and it's coming. And I'm madder than hell. Look, I like Richard Pitino. I don't think that was the route that Louisville needed to go. Like, we can't hang on to these like vintage type hires and try to live in the past. We need fresh blood. We need to move forward. And then I spent that morning just angry. And then right around like noon or one, it came out Richard Pitino announces that he's staying at New Mexico. And I'm like, he turned it down? Why did he turn this down? And then it wasn't 15 minutes after that, Louisville announces head coach Pat Kelsey. And I may have been the only happy person in this city. Everybody else was like, who in the hell is Pat Kelsey?
Right.
How did we whiff on Richard Pitino?
Right.
Blah, blah, blah. This was the best thing that ever could have happened. And I think the next day during the press conference, Pat Kelsey went from being probably one of the most unknown people in the city to being maybe one of the most disliked people in the city just because people didn't know him. To the next day at his press conference, being the most loved human being that's ever entered this city. Like, he is exactly what Louisville needed.
He got Freddie on board.
And he has been hitting, like, he has been working his tail off since he's gotten here. We've got the James Madison, Sun Belt Player of the Year, just committed today.
Dude, I don't doubt that guy. Keep going.
I mean, no, I love this guy. He came in with energy that, like, we just haven't seen. And for him to just be like, hey, this is the job that I wanted more than anything in the world.
Right.
He's like, I knew I wasn't their first choice.
Yeah.
They were trying to get other guys.
About it.
He was like, I was just happy to be in the conversation. And he said, I almost didn't believe it when Josh Hurd was offering me the job.
Right.
And that's the kind of guy that I want. Like,
right.
I love him being here.
Hell, he was his wife's third choice.
What'd somebody call him earlier? Oh, man. They called him the Shively.
He reminds me of a bulldog.
No, he is. He's like 5'2". He's just rowdy and keeps barking. He's in your face.
He's taller than that.
Yeah, he's taller than that, but he don't look much taller than that.
But he does look like a guy that would fit in real nice at the B-dubs on Upper Hunter Trace Road or whatever.
He's a Reds fan, too.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
He's a Reds fan, a Bengals fan. Won't hold that against him.
But he has done everything perfectly so far in this era of, like, I saw where he did like a Twitter space.
With
fans.
Yeah, he got on after a long day of him just getting, like, he had been in Louisville for literally a day and a half. And you could tell how exhausted he was. But you know what? He gets on there, and he's talking to Jeff Brohm. He's talking to Drew Diener. He's talking to fans, which it got a little weird talking to the fans. They started getting a little creepy over time. Like, you know, but anyway, just for him to interact with people like that, we haven't had anybody do that ever. Like, it's never been like that.
It's so refreshing.
Like, this is a guy that just loves college basketball. Like, I think he's mind blown.
Hell, he loves life.
Like, he even said it at his press conference. He was like, to be walking the same sidelines as Denny Crum and Rick Pitino.
All the players, I want them all to come in. You're all welcome. He said something about Kenny Payne. He
said, Kenny Payne, you're welcome. You contribute. Yeah. Which Kenny did contribute a lot to this program. Won a national championship with the program. Just because you had a bad couple years here trying to coach on your first coaching job, you shouldn't be hated by the fan base. Like, that was... That was something that I feel like his peers put him into and kind of forced him, and you know what I mean?
I mean, it was a home run presser. Let me tell you something. He had me from the minute it started to the minute it ended, and then I wanted to hear what everybody else had to say about it. I mean.
Yeah, I thought it was great, and, you know, look, it's one thing to win the press conference. It's another thing to build the program back up from where it was to where it needs to be. But he could not have started, in my opinion, any better than what he did.
Let's be real. This guy ain't full of hot air. He's going to win games.
That's why this is the reason that I wanted him over these other guys that were coming in, like all the other names that were listed. Like, people were throwing around Musselman, and I liked him because he'd proven winner, but, like, he had some baggage. And, like, the Dusty May thing and the Josh Schertz, I was like, if we're going to take
this guy's
that route,
hungry.
I was like, I want Pat Kelsey because he's in your face. He's a just, like, he lives and breathes basketball, and that's it.
Let me ask you a question. He's 0-4 in the NCAA tournament. Who cares? Do you want to be the first guy to win with him?
Yeah.
Can you imagine when he gets his first NCAA tournament win? Mm-hmm. That's going to be not only him getting it, it's going to be you all getting it together.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a cool day when that happens, I'm going to tell you.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Like, he had some great Charleston. Like, he's only been at Charleston for 3 years, but that team last year was a really good basketball team, and they just so happened to lose in that last second to San Diego State, who made it to the championship game. And then this year they ran up against a tough Bama team, you know, right out the gate.
Right.
So, but I'm excited. He's got two transfers coming in from Charleston, the little three-point shooter from Australia.
Three-point shooter. So, I mean, hey.
With a freshman power forward. So, I don't know, man. I'm just excited. It's really nice as a Louisville fan to have something in basketball to look forward to. And for us to actually get the guy that I wanted, it just, I don't know, man. It almost seems surreal.
Did he bring his whole staff with him, or did he pick up anyone through – I haven't seen any
He
of
brought
them.
His entire staff
so
from
his
Charleston.
His entire staff is with
And I
him.
Think he is going to hire on a couple more people that aren't exactly going to be assistant coaches, but to help
some
out.
Some Louisville people.
That, like, player development type thing. Okay. And all those weird titles that they make up.
Right.
Yeah, probably some guys that are more familiar with the program that are going to be part of that. So.
Not called Butch Beard.
Yes, not called Butch Beard. I mean, I could see a Reese Gaines or something like that being involved in something like that.
Right.
You know what I mean? Or
right.
Even a Peyton Siva. Who knows? I don't know what they're wanting to do. But we'll see. I'm looking forward to it, and I love the hire. I think it worked out as well as it could.
I'm going to tell you something right now. The first game that Louisville plays, I'm not saying it's going to be sold out. That's maybe pushing it. But there's going to be a lot of people at that game.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to be one of them there.
Yeah. And
unless it's, you know, I mean, I
and we play
I
in that battle for Atlantis
awesome.
This year down in the
I'm
Bahamas.
I'm talking about at the Yum Center, you know.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Not
I'll tell you what.
The beginning of the season. I mean, the first game there. I don't care
if they
who,
go down to battle for Atlantis.
In action.
If they go down to battle
and
for
just
Atlantis.
Just compete
and show right. that you're grinding. When they come back home, that Yum Center is going to be insane. It's going to look like it did three,
so
four, 5 years
ago. So you're saying they have a tournament before they have their first game.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's going to be an exhibition games and stuff like that there, but I think our first regular season is in the Battle for Atlantis.
Okay.
So I'm not 100% on that. I may be wrong, but I believe Indiana's playing in that
really
as well,
do.
Aren't they?
They are.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah.
I really do believe that UofL Nation's going to show up.
Well, my
and
favorite
just
thing
busted out that first Yum Center game.
The best thing that was
Who
said in this
what a coach in
is
the
that like
Center,
Kenny
dude.
Payne was like, "This program is broken." This pro, he was just telling us how much we got to have patience with them. We got to rebuild.
God.
These players are broken.
Horrible.
And then Pat Kelsey comes in and is like, "If you don't plan on winning, then don't even bother putting your shoes on in the morning."
Right.
You know, and I was like, hell yeah, dude.
That's what the guy said. He goes, "When do you actually plan on, when we put our shoes on?"
Yeah.
I mean, what are you talking about?
Yeah, he's like, why do this if you don't plan on winning?
I think that was the one time he got a little agitated with the question, like, bro, we're going to start winning immediately.
Yeah. No, I love it. I think he's got the perfect personality to rebuild this, so I'm
and
excited.
You really need a guy that is not just a great basketball coach, but you need that salesmanship.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's what this city needs,
and
man.
He
this
is,
city has been down and
the
out
fact
for a
that
while.
He was a legit car salesman.
Yeah, like, right. Like,
his dad is a car salesman.
His dad owns a car lot.
Hell,
so
he tried to sell a car while he was doing the presser.
Just not to toot my own horn, but I have kind of been right on the other coaching carousel across the nation.
Let's let everybody know about that.
Andy Enfield took the SMU job as predicted.
You called that.
USC, as of this morning, has interviewed Eric Musselman, and he is the front runner for the job.
You called that.
And then if Jerome Tang takes the Arkansas job after he leaves, then that'll be a perfect perfect stretch run here.
Why did Andy Enfield take the SMU job?
Because they're going to the ACC.
Okay.
And they have.
And they don't care about basketball.
They have an NIL world. They do care about basketball. They actually really do care about basketball. Their fans are nuts.
You're right. But the Pac-2 is. No, I'm talking about the Pac-2.
Well, I mean, they're.
They're.
If he was with USC, he would have went with the Big Ten.
Right, right.
So it's not like he's losing out on anything there. But I think there's less pressure there.
They had Larry Brown coach there for crying
out
loud.
I was taking some DayQuil right there. Sorry.
SMU is a school, whether it's basketball, football, women's basketball, where they're just trying to be one of the big boys. They've got the donor support.
Yeah, they have the money.
Yeah.
They have the money.
Absolutely. And they just want to be a part of the show. And you can see the growth in them. So they're going to be part of the ACC, and I think that's actually a great fit for him.
It is, because I think as much as it benefits those teams from a football standpoint moving to the Big Ten, mm-hmm. like USC is not going to come into the Big Ten in basketball and be at the top of the mm-hmm. chart. Right. Well, I get
they have had Bronny James and the number one McDonald's All-American recruit.
Yeah, but they
couldn't
stink.
Couldn't do nothing with them.
They stink.
Well,
and
I
they're
mean,
gonna
he couldn't do nothing with
gonna
them.
They're going to come into the Big Ten and be a middling team. Here you've got a whole fresh start. Like we said, you've got all that money behind you. Coming into the ACC is a huge deal. And I think it makes sense for him, because I think his time at USC, and he's been fine there, but they weren't going to compete for a national championship or anything there anytime
now,
soon.
On the other hand, I think Eric Musselman going to USC is career suicide. I don't think that's going to work out very well at all.
Yeah, I don't understand that.
I don't either. Well, here's the thing.
That?
He has to get out of Arkansas. There's a couple reasons. I'm not going to go too far into it. But
yeah,
my understanding is that
not
I'm not speculating.
Let's not speculate.
This is what I know, is that he has rubbed some of the donors the wrong way, and now he's trying to rebuild those relationships, and I don't know if they're repairable. So that's all I'm going to say with that.
Right.
So I think those are pretty much and he's going to have to move on.
It seems like if you're going to leave Arkansas for that job, it has to be because of something like that.
Exactly.
Like, there's a backstory there that we don't know. We may have heard rumors.
I know that he was going to, like, he wanted to run to Louisville for the job. Like, he was just trying like hell to get the job here. And I think once that they did a little bit more, Josh Hurd did a little bit more investigative work on him and all that, then he realized, all right, I should back off of this guy.
Right.
Because that got cold really fast.
Yep.
And I think USC is a program that's like, you know what? We're going to let the past be the past. Whatever's going on down there, we're just don't bring it here, and we're going to move forward. So I don't know how it's going to work. He's been a guy that's always been able to recruit really well. He hits the transfer portal really hard.
And he's a good coach.
No,
I
he
mean,
is. This is only this has been the first bad year he's had anywhere he's been.
Yeah.
So
and so I think he'll win games there, but USC is not the place you're going to go. Like I said, you're not going to go there and compete for a national championship. I just don't believe that that's ever going to happen.
Tell baby Jordan that.
Okay.
What was his name?
Harold Miner.
Harold Miner.
Yeah, he didn't compete for a national championship. He was a good player. One more quick basketball note.
Reds take the lead 2-0.
Yeah, I saw that. I'm sure you guys watched. We discussed it a little bit before we came on the air tonight. The tremendous atmosphere in Hinkle Fieldhouse last night for the NIT Final Four. Indiana State and Utah played, and then Seton Hall played Georgia. And the two teams I think that we all felt like were probably 1 and 1A of getting snubbed out of the NCAA tournament, which I think we all agree that
for sure
Seton Hall was 1 and Indiana State was 1A, have made it to the final. But, man, that atmosphere in Hinkle last night, and we talked about it right before we came on the air, moving it out of Madison Square Garden and into Hinkle, a more intimate, smaller, historical place. Not that MSG isn't historical, but a smaller place where, especially in this particular year, the Indiana State fans could just take over, and it was awesome. And that team is so fun to watch.
How fluid was that offense last night?
I'm telling you.
It was insane to watch.
It's incredible. And it's not just Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
No,
I mean, they got five guys that can fill it.
It's all moving parts, and it's fun to watch.
They can fill it, and they move, and they pass. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, their assist-to-bucket ratio is insane. And I just love the way that they play. Today is what, Wednesday, right?
Yes.
Yes. So the final is
tomorrow
night. The final is tomorrow night, and it's Indiana State and Seton Hall. I think it's going to be fantastic. The rumor is that Larry Bird's going to be there courtside. What did you guys think about
man,
that?
Man, I'm going to be torn on this one because, like, Shaheen Holloway's my guy, man.
I know.
And then I like Indiana State's team so much. And
God, I'm really torn, too.
I'm putting no money on it. I'm just going to sit back and watch it, not pull for anybody.
Right,
and
that's what I'm going to do.
I'm going to bet on the over.
Yeah,
and then I'm going to root like hell for Indiana State.
That's probably the way to
do it. How do you think the over would be?
It's going to be high.
Okay. Yeah.
It's going to be high. Indiana State can drop 100.
They dropped 100 last night.
I know.
Yeah.
They can drop 100, like, just playing their regular game.
Yeah.
But, man, that was so fun. And it makes the NIT, like we talked about, we were all disappointed from a podcast standpoint because we had all kind of latched on to Indiana State. But it's been fun to watch them make this run and to have a chance to actually win a championship, even if it's the NIT, and hang a banner. That's something that, you know, it's a big deal to a school like that. And I can't wait for tomorrow night. I can't wait to watch it.
Yeah, that's going to be a lot of fun.
So Go Indiana State.
And don't forget, Indiana State's coach is now going to St. Louis. Mm-hmm. And you've got Shaheed Holloway staying.
That's not official yet, right?
Yes. Oh, it is. He signed. That's why he ended up, or why he couldn't go to Louisville. Because we tried to hire him.
Okay, okay.
But he signed a memorandum of understanding.
I had heard that, but I hadn't seen that officially.
It's official, and it's a seven-figure buyout to get out of that. And the rumor is it's $4.1
million.
Wow. So St. Louis was like, look, we want you. We understand you're going to be a hot commodity, and we're going to lock you down. And I don't think he realized how hot of a commodity that he was.
Probably not.
Like, I think he undersold it because he was just like, or undersold himself, undervalued himself. Because he's like, okay, well, if Dusty's taking the Louisville job, then I'm going to go ahead and sign this thing with St. Louis.
Right.
And yeah.
Well, then I sure as hell hope he goes out on top with Indiana State tomorrow night. That would be and to set Indiana State up for, you know, maybe they can get a new up-and-coming young coach that can kind of build on what they've been able to build there. Because, man, Terre Haute, for all the crap it takes for
does smell funny.
Not being – well, they got that paper factory there. But, man, it is a great basketball town.
Baseball town, too, buddy.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Their Indiana State's baseball program is they're really coming up.
And shout out to Kurt Mallory, their football coach, son of Bill. But so anyway, go Indiana State. Looking forward to that tomorrow night. Now, Fred, we did have a couple of derby preps this past weekend. I believe we have a couple more coming up soon, and I believe that you might have said that you have narrowed your horses down to a top 10. I would love to hear what you have to say about that.
Guys, it is derby time. It is derby prep time.
Yes, I showed you. I focused on the...
Tuna made a bet. Travis made a bet.
I made several bets. Okay. I didn't win any of them.
Tuna's horse, who'd you bet, Tuna?
I forget his name. Warrior.
Conquest Warrior. Sherman Gay, still running.
Yeah, he is. He had a rough
out.
Well,
actually,
no, he finished
fourth.
Fourth.
Travis, who'd you have?
I finished in the Arkansas Derby. I finished second, third, and fourth.
Okay, nice. Well,
I didn't have first.
On Baffert. Okay, so let's go through that. The Arkansas Derby was run last week, and Muth won. That is Bob Baffert. That horse cannot run in anything except the, I think he is pointed towards the Preakness.
Aren't they suing?
I was just about to say, Fred, I don't know if you've seen this.
Oh, maybe I haven't.
It just literally broke this afternoon.
Right when I was leaving the house.
That the ownership group for that horse has sued Churchill Downs for the right to have that horse considered for the Derby. Now, whether anything comes of that, who knows?
They're going to say you didn't change your trainer.
But it is in litigation right now, so we'll see.
Well, that was Muth who ran Arkansas first. Let's just talk about who ran second, which was very interesting to me. Just Steal, a D-Wade Lugan horse that has ran 14 times this year.
I know.
Unbelievable. And this horse has heart.
I was reading about that when I was doing a little handicapping.
Dude, he will not go away.
I thought it was a misprint.
Yeah, I took him out of my top 30. And here he is again showing some heart, and now he's in the Derby. Another horse. There are two horses, and Tuna loves both of them. The other one's El Grande O, who has ran 9 or 10 times and continues to run second or third. Guess what? He's in the Wood Memorial this weekend. So they have not given up on him. This is kind of like the NIL, Tuna. You got all these young horses, and then you got the NIL transfer guys coming in, the old dogs.
Well, they need to start putting these horses in commercials.
Well, we need to see what happens, but the Arkansas Derby was run. Muth did win, but guys, the Florida Derby this weekend was a freaking unbelievable race. Fierceness, who had kind of ran a clunker in third back a few preps ago. Literally, the jockey did not even sit down on the horse from the get-go, and he got a 105 speed number.
Fred,
it was insane.
That horse looked to be best in class so much in that race. I mean, I couldn't believe coming around the turn. Just like you said, he never asked him to run.
No, he literally
and he just
sat
kept. He just
him.
Ran.
He literally said, "I had him eighth. He's moved up to second. I think he's earned the right to be second on my board, just because he had that one clunker."
And I've obviously just started really starting to try to pay attention.
Right.
But that was as impressive.
Oh, my gosh. And Johnny V's on him. Come on.
Right.
Like, dude, he is literally now the favorite for the Kentucky Derby. It's that simple.
I think so. Right.
And here's how that's all going to happen, because we have three Derby preps, the final three. Well, there's one more after this, the Lexington Coolmore. But right now, this weekend, you got the Santa Anita, you got the Wood Memorial, 13 horses in the Wood. This is a big Wood Memorial and a great field in the Bluegrass at Keeneland. So after what has happened, all the horses are now falling into place on where they need to run. Dornick, who is my number one, is in the Bluegrass, 7-2. Encino, 18-1, won his last Derby prep. And who else is in the Bluegrass? We've got Epic Ride is a good one. But I'm going to tell you guys, we're not going to spend a lot of time on that. But Dornick doesn't need the points. He's going to run a good race, see what he can do. They're not going to push him. I've got a buddy. I'm throwing his name out there, JT, who loves Encino. He loves Pauly Shore. He loves Encino Man. He loves Brendan Fraser.
That's as good a reason to bet on a horse as any.
But let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. I do believe in what he's saying, because if this horse is a front runner, and if he's not going to be 18 to 1, but if you want to beat a horse and try to get in there in the money, that is a good horse to bet. Sierra Leone is another fantastic horse, closer. Doesn't need the points, but will be coming. So I'm going to try to beat those two. I'm going with my buddy JT on Encino. And maybe there's one more horse, guys, I want to mention. Just a Touch. Just a Touch is a 3-1 horse that ran second in his prep, a front runner, a stalker. Keep an eye on Just a Touch. It's either him or Encino that I'm going with. The Wood Memorial has one of the big buzz horses in this year's Derby, Deterministic. Excuse me. He will be running in that race. Keep an eye on him. You've also got Tuna's horse, Uncle Heavy.
Love Uncle Heavy.
Uncle Heavy won his last Derby prep as a somewhat of a long shot and blew and has, trust me, he's ready to go. Tuscan Sky,
well put.
A Pletcher horse. A Pletcher horse.
They don't call him the best
ready.
Color man in the country for nothing, Tuna.
Now you've got the Santa, and there's those horses. Now you got the Santa Anita. We're going to go Santa Anita. I'm going with Stronghold in this one, and he is shipping out there. He does not hang out in the West Coast, but he's going. He needs the points. I'm going with Stronghold in that. Oh, El Grande O is in the Wood too, Tuna, by the way. We already talked about that. Imagination, another great horse, but that's Baffert, so we're not going to pull for him. We're going Stronghold in the Santa Anita. And by the way, UAE Derby was last week. We have a Japanese horse, folks, that is the best horse yet. Foreign horse that will be in the Derby this year. No jokes. No horses that run the wrong way around the track.
You're not horsing around.
Folks, forever young, remember the name. He's big. He's bad. He won the Saudi Derby. He won the UAE Derby Saturday.
And I like that name.
He's got the best trainer over there. And he will be one of the top five favorites in this Derby. You could bet on it. Also, a quick note. There's all the races going on this weekend. Timberlake, a horse that ran fourth, didn't need the points, but did not run a good race this weekend. And the prep is out of the Derby trail. So Timberlake, a good quality horse that would have been up there in the front with all these bad boys,
right,
is now taking a different path. So keep that in mind as well. But there you go. I also like Longshot in the Bluegrass, Sees the Gray, a Lucas horse. Lucas is starting to pop up on the trail a little bit here. But as far as a long shot that I'm putting in the Bluegrass, Just a Touch or Encino, is Seize the Gray. But Sierra Leone will be coming, believe me. All right, guys, that's it, buddy. We only got one more prep after that, and it's here. You want me to do my top 10?
Yes, please.
Top 10. Freddie's new top 10 is number 1, Dornick. Number 2, Fierceness. Number 3, Nisos. That's a Baffert horse. He'll be in the Santa Anita or the Belmont. He is a stud. Number 4, Muth. Another Baffert horse, but I still put them in the order they should be. Track Phantom, number 5, Forever Young. Number 6, Catching Freedom, my boy. Number 7, The Closer. Sierra Leone, number 8, The Closer. 9, The Stalker, Deterministic. Number 10, Domestic Product. There you have it.
Awesome. Thank you, Freddie, for that breakdown. We'll look forward to the races this weekend. And as Fred says, Derby season is officially upon us. I cannot wait until we get a little bit deeper into this. And we will obviously break down the race as it gets closer and we know who is going to be in it.
I mean, if you two don't bet Encino, man, Encino and Uncle Heavy, like, I'm telling you.
Already bet them.
Now.
I already bet them.
With all that being said, let's do what we've done for the rest of the tournament. We have 2 games in the Final 4.
I like it.
Let's go ahead and pick who is going to win the Final 4 games, and then who's going to win the national championship. We're going to do the same thing that we've done before. Now we only have 3. So there will be no ties.
Thank God. So we don't have to flip that rigged chip of yours.
So let's start with UConn and Bama. Tuna, who's going to win this game?
I think UConn wins this one. And I think that they cover the 11.5. Unless they can get out there and their plane doesn't explode. So
well,
that's something to keep an eye on. If they have to take a bus, I'm taking Bama.
I'm going with Nate Oates, who said, "We're playing with house money here, guys. Bama is a tough matchup for UConn. They haven't had a tough game yet. They haven't had a tough game in 2 years in the tournament. I'm going to say that this is that game, and I know I'm pressing, but I'm saying Bama. I know I'm probably outvoted, but I'm saying Bama."
Let me just say one thing real quick before you pick. I wanted to pick Alabama. I think my main reason I couldn't do it is because their head coach wears a plaid jacket with a plaid shirt.
No, he does not.
And that's a no-no. You just can't do that maneuver.
Look, I never said Nate Oates was a snappy dresser. But you don't wear plaid on plaid, people. You don't wear plaid on plaid. Fred, you don't wear plaid with stripes.
Freddie, you are right. You are being outvoted. I've had UConn since game one of the season this year, thinking they were going to win the national championship. I'm not pulling off of that. UConn wins to make it to the national championship game. Now, North Carolina State, the darlings of the tournament, against Purdue, a team that hasn't been to the Final Four in 44 years. Tuna, who you got?
Well, you know I can't pick against family, so we got to ride the Wolf Pack. That's just how it is.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to be bitter, but I think Purdue's going to make it. I think they're going to shoot the ball. I think Edie's going to have another big game. I do think that NC State is going to run out of gas. I hope they don't. I will be pulling. I'll be wearing my ACC shirt, believe me. But I do think that it's destiny that Purdue, Edie, and Klingon from Star Trek meet in the final game as an old school Chamberlain Russell battle, or Chamberlain who. Elgin Baylor battle.
Now, last week I believe I said that I wouldn't pick Purdue if they were playing Iraq. But I'm going against that this week. Purdue is going to win. Purdue is going to the national championship game.
Number one versus number two.
They will play UConn in the championship game. Tuna, if that happens, who you got winning the championship?
At that point, hell, give me Purdue. I've been picking against them every game. So, I got to pull for them if they're there.
Tuna's got Purdue. Fred.
If they do get in the paint, there's something about this Zach Edey guy that I like the way he handles himself. He's been on a collision course.
Oh, proven you can't just toss those words around.
Proven everybody wrong from the get-go. But I do think that his surrounding group is not as talented as the other surrounding group who have been there, done that, and I say UConn wins back-to-back and becomes a major blue blood.
Again, I've had UConn from the beginning of the season. I can't back off of that now. The official...
Whatever you say, Gino.
The official the official Blockout Sports Pod bracket has UConn winning the national championship, which I'm sure...
Oh, that was a stretch, guys.
Which I'm sure, which I'm sure will be completely wrong. It means North Carolina State is going to win by 30.
Over Bama.
But we have UConn winning the national championship. This has been a great episode tonight, guys. I've really enjoyed it.
This is Freddie's flu game.
It is. And Freddie, yes. You've done a hell of a job bouncing back. I think you pushed off on Byron Russell there at the end.
Yes,
just like
I
MJ
did.
But... I'm going to send it around the room for final thoughts.
Sanitize
Tuna.
The mic.
One thing real quick. Earlier today, we found out Stephon Diggs was traded to the Houston Texans. There's a lot to go into at that, and we'll start talking about this more when it gets towards NFL draft time.
Oh, yeah.
But I just want to say that the big winner in this trade today was the Buffalo Bills locker room. So on to you,
Frederick. I agree 100%. Joe Brady did not use him a lot in their little playoff run and didn't need him and proved to him that they didn't need him.
Averaged 40 yards a game in their last eight games.
Yes. And I think he knew who the leaders of that team were. And you can tell his little brother that too, that little punk for Dallas that went to Bama.
Drink.
I just wanted to drink. I just wanted to float my own boat a little bit here. You know, we talk about fantasy rings and all this stuff all the time.
I knew this was coming.
And I just wanted everyone to know that Freddie Benders won his NBA
Are you a champion?
Championship.
Oh,
yes.
Atta boy.
Yeah, it was atta a boy. Long, long battle. And I just want to let you know that I'll have that ring ordered soon because this league's been going on for a long time. I was like, there's no way I'm ever going to be able to win anything in this league. And I figured something out last year.
Fighting and clawing.
And I didn't have any injuries like Travis did, which was the huge thing. But I also didn't draft injury-prone players.
That is true.
So we'll see, which isn't that easy to say. But anyways, yes, I will take that championship ring, NBA style, baby.
Congrats, dude. That's awesome.
Well done, Fred.
Thank you.
Well done.
I thought Ike would present that to me, but he's not here.
He'll be on for the playoff preview yeah, show.
We might have to bring him in for the playoffs.
I said, where's my money? He goes, we donate all that to charity, bro.
Guys, again, great episode tonight. Want to thank everybody for listening. Looking very much forward to the NIT final tomorrow night. And, of course, the big Final Four this weekend and the national championship game on Monday. Check us out on social media on Twitter, at Blockout Pod. On Facebook, type in Blockout Sports Pod into your search bar. For the big fella, the tuna, Country Matt Kemp, and the fabulous one, Freddie Benders, this is Travis Carter saying, so long, everybody.